Okay, good evening, everybody. So we're in the middle of our series on Muktzah. This evening is Zayin Adar, the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we always try to dedicate our shiurim to Niftarim. So Moshe Rabbeinu should have a little bit of an aliyah from our Divrei Torah. And just to remind everybody that tomorrow night there will be a Zayin Adar Siyum in the shul with Rabbi Kriegsman speaking. I'm sure it will be wonderful. I'm sure it will be a nice way to be mechazik the efforts of the Chevra Kadisha for those who might be able to make it. We should try to make every attempt that we can. So tonight I think we're actually going to get to the punchline. We began the shiur a few weeks ago talking about whether or not snow is considered muktzah on Shabbos or whether snow is considered not muktzah on Shabbos. So this was an interesting discussion which led us into a whole big discussion about muktzah. Last week we left off in the middle about the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, as we'll get to, and then we'll get to the final sugya of snow being muktzah on Shabbos or not. We'll get to that this evening. So let's just give a recap where we're up to, and that is we began with the discussion about when was the institution of muktzah instituted. We assume that muktzah is only dindurabbanan, and the Gemara is not clear exactly when muktzah began. The Gemara one place says that it began in the times of Nehemiah. That's when they were misaking the din of muktzah. The other Gemara seems to say already in the times of David HaMelech the din of muktzah was around, as we find that David HaMelech died on Shabbos. Shlomo HaMelech wasn't sure what to do because his father was in the sun and he was afraid that the body would decompose and that it would rot, it would be a bizayin ames. So Shlomo HaMelech wasn't sure what to do. So the Gemara says that you see already that there was a din of muktzah that was around in the times of David. Be it as it may, muktzah is only din derabbanan. The problem is, if muktzah is only din derabbanan, why is it that we assume that a suffik muktzah should be usher? The Gemara says in Beitzah Daf Chav Dalid that suffik muktzah is usher. So why should that be if the general rule is that suffik deraisa lechumra, suffik derabbanan lekula? So that muktzah should follow the general principle that safik derabbanan lekula, and we should have been mekel whenever we have a safik muktzah. So we gave two answers to that question. Either answer number one is you're right that muktzah is a din derabbanan. However, this is an exception to the rule. Why is this an exception to the rule? Because Chazal realized that people were being too mekel of muktzah. They realized that people were not careful enough, so they went above and beyond the regular rules, and they said, even though normally muktzah should have been only derabbanan and safik muktzah should have been mutter, however, since muktzah is something that we're so makel about, since muktzah is something we're not careful about at all, so Chazal made an extra harchaka, an extra gzeir, and they said that even safik muktzah is going to be usher. And the second answer we gave is because muktzah is a davar she'yesh lamatirin, like the Achronim talk about in many different places, what the din of davar she'yesh lamatirin is. So Rashi explains, it's ad she'tochlena be'isur tochlena be'heter. Why should we allow you to be mekel to eat the suffik muktzah on Shabbos? You're not sure if this apple was picked before Shabbos or on Shabbos itself. You're not sure if the apple is muktzah or it's not muktzah, because maybe everything was done before Shabbos. So why should you be mekel? Just wait till Shabbos is over, and then you'll be able to eat it. So that's what some Achronim say, that this is why when it comes to the suffik muktzah, we're going to be machmir, even though generally we should have said that safik derabbanan lekula. There are two sheets. One is to finish off from last week, and then the last one will be for this week, for those who just walked in. Now we discussed the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Why exactly were Chazal misaken the institution of muktzah in the first place? What was the harchaka all about? A harchaka generally of muktzah, a harchaka of any sort, has to be based on something. It has to be parallel to some din d'oraisa. It's called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kander Isa Tikkun, or for that matter, it has to be a Harchaka to some din daraisa. So what was it over here? So this machlok is the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says, you know why? Because imagine you're going to have a person sitting at home, and during the week he's unemployed. So it comes to Shabbos. What's different about Shabbos than during the week? He doesn't do malacha during the week. He doesn't do malacha on Shabbos. So nowadays you're going to say he doesn't turn on his TV. He doesn't turn on his phone. Okay, so there's a difference. But says the Rambam, let's say he would be allowed to touch his phone. Let's say he would be allowed to touch all the items. So then there would be no difference. There would be no shvisa ani keres. There would be no difference between Shabbos and the rest of the week. And the Rambam writes that Shabbos is supposed to be completely different than the rest of the week. So therefore, the Rambam says, we wanted to make a heightened sensitivity in order to make the atmosphere of Shabbos completely different from that of the week. And therefore, the Rambam says, they instituted that not only are you not allowed to do malacha, but you're also not allowed to handle items in order that your house should be a different feeling, a different ambiance on Shabbos than it is during the rest of the week. So that's what the Rambam writes. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, no, it really had to be based on something d'oraisa. So the Ravid says, really, muktzah is a hachaka because of hotzah. There's a din d'oraisa that you're not allowed to violate the isra of hotzah on Shabbos. So Chazal were concerned, what's going to happen if we're going to allow you to be metaltal to handle all the regular items from during the week? So we're concerned that's going to lead to the next step, which is maybe you're going to carry it outside, and then you're going to violate the real isra d'oraisa. The Kesef Mishnah and others there on that Rambam point out that the Rambam also has to agree that bottom line, it has to be patterned off the din of Hotzah as well. The Rambam really agrees in effect to the Ravid. The Rambam is just giving a little more of a hashkafic understanding as to why Chazal were misaken the Gzeirah of Muktzah, but really it's based on the Isser of Hotza. So then we got into the different categories of Mukta, and that was a Klisha Malachta L'Isser. We talked about a Basis L'Davar Aser. We talked about a Mukta Machmas Gufa, and we talked about Mukta Machmas Chisar and Kis, and each one has its own particular halachas. Then we got into many different details of that. We talked about Balei Chaim, whether Balei Chaim are considered Mukta or not. And the general understanding is that Balei Chaim are considered Mukta, and one would not be allowed to be Metalta Balei Chaim. Then we said, what about touching Mukta? Is one allowed to touch Mukta? So that's a Mufurish Ramah. That one is allowed to touch Mukta, just one is not allowed to move Mukta. And then the Ramban proves, the Gemara says, E Matsimen Enav Shalameis. One is not allowed to cover the eye, to close the eyes of the dead body on Shabbos, because the Rishonim right over there, that would be a violation of Mukta. Why is that a violation of Mukta? I would have thought Mukta means to move one thing, move an item from place A to place B. Over here, I'm not moving the item at all. The mace is staying in the same place. It's stationary. I'm just touching, I'm moving a part of the item. So why should that be considered a problem? Says the Ramban, you see from here, that you're right, touching Mukta is not a problem, but moving Mukta, even if you don't move the item from place A to place B, you just move an item slightly, that's also considered a violation of Mukta. Then we talked about, what about a tree? What about when Avi Lanos? So over there, there's a Dindir Rabbanon, a Mishtamish or Me'ilam Shabbos. You're not allowed to be Mishtamish at all with an Ilan on Shabbos. What is the reason for that? Because we're concerned, Xeiro Shema Yalavi Yidlosh. We're concerned maybe you're going to break off a branch as you go ahead and you're Mishtamish with the Ilan. So there were some Achronim who pointed out that why is it that Chazal had to make an Isser of Emesh Damshem Be'ilan if in fact the Ilan should have been Mutter anyway, like Eitzim Avanim Be'afer, we say something that has no use on Shabbos, so it should be Mukta anyway, so why they have to make a new Xero? So we talked about that. Then we spoke about an interesting topic, which was, what about Negiya B'Mukta when it's the Tzarech Dabar Ha'aser? For example, we said the Ravid quotes the Yerushalmi that when a person has a Beitza Shenolda, and this Beitza is Mukta on Shabbos, it's Beitza Shenolda B'Shabbos V'Yantif, you're not allowed to use it at all, because that's considered nolad, as we'll see in a couple of minutes what nolad actually is and where nolad actually would be usser. So we'll get to that in a minute. But let's say you have a beitz or shenolda biyamtiv. That's usser. So if you have that kind of situation, so you're afraid that the beitz shouldn't crack. So what are you going to do? You want to cover it over with a pot. So no problem. That's not mevatel kli me'echano. Why? Because I could take the pot away at any time. Mevatel kli me'echano would only be if I put the pot underneath the egg as it's coming out of the mother, then that would be a problem. I mean, that's not the way eggs are hatched. So that would also not be a consideration. Okay, but that would be. I mean, I guess they are. Okay, you're right. So that would be Mevatli Meichana. But what about if I turn the pot over the egg? So then says the Gemara, that would not be a problem of Mevatli Meichana. Why? Because at any point I could just go and take the kli away, and it has not become batal to the egg. It's not going to become a violation of Bona or Sosa the way Mevatli Meichana was understood. So then the Ravid quotes the Yushalmi. However, if you're going to cover over the egg, which is Muksa, with a pot, says the Ravid, you have to be careful that even though you're covering it over and there's no problem, one still has to be careful not to touch the egg while putting the pot on top of it to cover it over. Why not? So the Rishonim, Shumas Adesha, Magen Mishnah, have the Kasha, why should there be an issue? What's the problem? If Negiya B'Muksa is Mutter, so what's the difference? What do I care if I'm taking a pot and I'm covering over my egg? What's the problem if it touches it? So there's two answers given by the Rishonim. The Magen Mishnah gives the answer, you know why? Because a beitza is something that's round and it moves very easily. So if I'm going to touch the pot to the egg is going to roll. Then I'm going to violate the Isra of Mukta, because then I'm going to move it. You're right, touching Mukta is not a problem, but moving Mukta is a problem. So that's what the Magen Mishnah answers. That's why the Yushalmi says, if a vachalig of a beitza, because if it's going to touch the beitza, then it's going to move the beitza. Once the beitza moves, then it's considered Mukta. However, the Chumas Hadeshon says a different answer. Says the Chumas Hadeshon, you know what the answer is? The only time we say Negiya is Mutter by Mukta, that's only when it's the Tzarech Davar HaMutter. For example, I have to tie my shoelaces on Shabbos, so I'm concerned. If I'm going to just stand on one foot like this, so then I'm going to lose my balance, I'm going to fall over. So what do? I lean on a tree. So I'm leaning on the tree. There's nothing wrong with leaning on the tree. The tree's not going to move. So I lean on a tree. I'm only touching the Mukta. Touching the Mukta is Mutter. But why am I touching the Mukta? I'm touching it the Tzarech Davar HaMutter. I'm touching it for myself, that I shouldn't fall. So there says the Magen Mishnah, there says the Chumash Hadeshon, when I'm being touching, I'm being nogeya b'mukta l'tzarech davar ha'mutter for myself, that would be permissible. But if I'm doing the negiya b'mukta l'tzarech davar ha'aser, I'm touching the mukta only because I don't want the egg to fall, I don't want the egg to crack. So there says the Magen Mishnah achidish, there says the Chumash Hadeshon achidish, that would be aser, even touching it would be aser, which is a big chidish, this is machlokes the Magen Avraham, the Vilna Gaon. So the Mishnah Berurah is makel that either way, negiya b'mukta would never be a problem, but the Magen Avraham is machmir. So anyway, that's something to keep in mind. One should try not to do it. If it's only the Tzarech Davar HaAser, maybe One should be machmer like the Magen Avraham, or one can always rely on the Vilna Gaon, who's makel, a kula from the Vilna Gaon is something we should rely on. Why not? Then we talked about tilta muktzav mechuber. That was an interesting chiddushim last week, that maybe there would be a possibility to say that there would be some leniency when it comes to opening a car door on Shabbos that we spoke about Barichas last week. So then, after all of this akdama, we got to the main point of the issue of muktzah, and that is you get to Beitza Daf Beza Med Aleph, which is really this mesechta that talks all about Yantiv, and you get to the first Mishnah, and you get to the first sugya in the Gemara, and you're confronted with the machlokes of Shimon or Yehuda, whether there's a din of muktzah at all. So really, I did it out of order. Really, this should have been the first year that we had. Is there a din of muktzah at all? The Gemara says the machlokes of Yehuda of Shimon, whether the din of muktzah applies at all. And where is that found? That's found. The Gemara has, let's say, in Shabbos Daf Kuf Chavav and Beis, the Gemara talks about the following. Chitin la'otzer. Let's say I have wheat that I put up in a storage room. So I don't want to use them now. I'm going to use them whenever I'm going to use them. So the question is, the Gemara wants to know, is that considered muktzah on Shabbos or not? Rabbi Yehuda says, well, of course it's muktzah. Why? Because I'm using them on Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon says, no. Rabbi Shimon says, no. I wasn't maksa them midaiti, because it's not like I threw them in the garbage and I never want to see them again. I do want to see them again. Just right now, I'm not going to use them. So Rabbi Shimon says, in a case like that, that would not be considered muktzah. So that's machlokas number one. Second place where we have it is, let's say I have a chair. And the Gemara says, I have the chair, and one of the legs breaks off. So now, a regular person wouldn't take the chair and sit on it, because it only has three legs. But the chair can be used for some other purpose. I don't know what purpose, but it could be used for a different purpose. So the Gemara says, am I allowed to use shivrei kelim? When I have a kli, if the kli breaks into 100 different pieces, and now it's not usable for anything, so that's not what we're talking about. But over here, we're describing a case where you have an item, and it breaks. Let's say the Gemara's case is you have a big bowl. So I used to use the bowl to serve the chalent. Now the edges of the bowl break a little bit, so now it won't be able to contain the chalent because the chalent is liquid. So what do? I'm going to put fruits on it. The fruits don't need to be contained in something that has a rim all around it. So I can still use it, but it's not the same usage that I used to be able to use it for before. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. Why? Because that's considered muktzah, because that's not what the kli originally was on Shabbos, on the onset of Shabbos. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, no problem, it's still a kli. It's not the same kli as it was before. It doesn't make a difference, that's no problem at all. So this is a machlokes in the Gemara. And in fact, the Gemara comes to the conclusion in Meseches Beitza. So we'll get to that in a minute. But let's first say, the Gemara has this machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Do we assume there's a category of muktzah on Shabbos v'yamtif or not? So this is a very interesting machlokas. What is the psak halacha l'maisa? So the Gemara writes in the beginning of Maseches Beitza Daf Beis Amud Beis. Well, the psak is like this: when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos is an issur skila. Shabbos is something which we take very seriously. To us, it's very chamur. So Shabbos, we have the right to be makel like Rav Shimon, and we don't hold a muksa. But Yom Tov, which people are already very mezalzalin. Why are people mezalzalin Yom Tov? Because cooking is mutter on Yom Tov, and carrying is mutter on Yom Tov. You're allowed to do all sorts of malachas. So we're afraid that people are going to be makel on Yom Tov with regard to muktzah as well. So we say, you know what? Throw in the towel. Because Yom Tov is not so chamer, so therefore we're going to make it more chamer over here. We're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that on Yom Tov muktzah is going to be yasser. That's the way the Gemara comes to the conclusion. This is the way the Rifa and the Rambam paskin, and this is the way the Shulchan Aruch has in Siman Tav Tzadi Hei, as well as in Hilchos Shabbos, that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon with regard to Shabbos because you have the right to be makel, because Shabbos, we're generally very machmir, we're very careful about Hilchos Shabbos, so we're not concerned that you're going to come to do something wrong. And Yom Tov, where people are usually very makel, so therefore we have to be extra machmir, extra cautious, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda lahachmir when it comes to Yom Tov. So that's the Gemara's maskana, that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Tav Tzadi Hei. The problem is the Mishnah Lamelech points out a beautiful kasha. The Mishnah Lamelech says, for those who are learning the Daf Yomi, you just saw the Gemara has in the end of Yavamas, Kuf Yudalit and Medalef, a whole sugya there, but the Gemara comes to the conclusion that where do we have a right to make a chumra midrabanan? That's where you have Xera Chamura. Right? Anyone familiar with what I'm talking about? The Gemara has in Yavamas, Kuf Yudalit. So the Gemara has here, the Gemara has on the bottom of Kuf Yudalit and Medalef. Here, the Gemara says, Shabbos de Isur Skila Gazer Rabbanon. Shabbos, which is an Isur Skila, so Chazal came along and said, oh, it's a very serious Isur, so you have to make extra chumras in order to make sure no one violates. But Yom Tov to Isur Lav Yom Tov, where if you violate the halacha of Yom Tov, you're not going to be Chayv Skila. At best, at worst, you're going to be chayiv malchus. So says the Gemara, lo gaza be'rabbanan. That's where the Gemara comes to the conclusion. Ask the Mishnah Melech, what do you mean? You have a steer in Gemaras. Sometimes the Gemara says that when something is more chamer, we're going to make extra hachakas to make sure you don't come to violate that iser. And where it's more kal, then you don't have to make hachakas, because worse comes to worse, you're only going to violate a lav. Meanwhile, over here, when it comes to the sugya muktzah, the Gemara comes to the totally opposite conclusion. What's the conclusion over here? That since Shabbos, we're very machmir, we're very careful about, so we can be mekel and passing like Reb Shimon. And since Yom Tov, we're very mekel, so we have to be machmir. So how do you draw the line? Yeah?
Here we're worried about Zilzal. Here we're worried about the Nizaz on Yom Tov. That's the Megazeret muktzah. Over here is what the outcome is going to be if someone is over the
law. So I saw a very beautiful answer, which is basically, in essence, that's what you're saying. There's a Torah journal Hadarom. So I saw Talmud Chacham wrote in the Torah journal Hadarom, he wrote a very similar suggestion. He said, you can't just take the Gemara's out of context. You have to understand what's the Gemara saying. Over here, the Gemara is talking about, should we make a hachaka? So the Gemara says, well, if the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to violate an Isser of Skila, then you better make a hachaka. This way, people shouldn't come to violate an Isser Chamer of Skila. If at worst, you're only going to violate an Isser Lav, okay, so maybe you don't have to make a hachaka in a case like that, because at worst, what's going to happen is you'll only violate a Lav. But over here, the Gemara is talking about a much broader issue. The Gemara is talking about Zilzal Shabbos and Zilzal Yom Tov, exactly what you're saying. That's what the Gemara by Muktzim, Beitzadach, Beit Aminal, is talking about. The whole essence of Shabbos, the whole essence of Yom Tov, are people going to be Mezalzal in the whole day, not in a specific halacha, not in the malacha of Hotzah. Over here, the Gemara is talking about, in the whole aura, and the whole perspective that they have of Shabbos, the whole gisha that they have toward Yom Tov, so how are they going to take that? Are they going to take it seriously or not? So that's exactly what you're saying. So over there, perhaps, we have the other cheshbon, which might work in the other direction. So it's interesting. The Mishnah Melech discusses this. He doesn't write that answer, but the Mishnah Melech discusses the kasha. I thought it was a fascinating kasha. In fact, as Rav Avadi Yosef, I think, has in one of his tshuvas, what's the halacha as follows? Rav Avadi Yosef, what happens when you have Yom Tov that falls out on Shabbos? So what would you say then? So on the one hand, you should say, well, Shabbos we're making like Reb Shimon, and we say you don't have to keep the laws of Muktzah. On the other hand, Yom Tov, so we're Machmir. Rav Avadi.
What?
Bottom line is it's Shabbos, I'm going to take it seriously. So Rav Avadi says, am I going to be mezalzel in my Shabbos more because I know that it's Yom Tov? Hard to imagine such a thing. So Rav Avadi has a long, long arichas in his tshuvas for anyone who wants to look it up. It's in Yabia Omer, Chelek Yud. That's the last Chelek Yabia Omer. They have it over here. Chelek Yud, Simen Nun Hei, Os Lamed Beis. So it's a long tshuva, but an Os Lamed Beis there. And Rav Avadi has a very, very long arichos explaining what the halacha should be when you have Yom Tov Shechalias B'Shabbos, and he quotes all the achronim in both directions. It's hard to understand. Why should you be mocked in such a case? People are going to take it seriously because it's Shabbos. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion that Rav Avadi has. So the problem is, if we assume that there's a machlokas or b'shimon or b'yehuda, if there's an institution of mukta at all, and on Shabbos, you're right, we paskin like the Rambam and the Rif, like the Gemara and Beitzah daf beis and beis. That what? That Shabbos, we're going to be makel because Shabbos everyone takes seriously anyway, so we don't hold the muktzah. So then what were all these shiurim we had? If we don't hold the muktzah, we hold like Reb Shimon that there's no muktzah, so then what's the whole shaila here? What are we talking about? So this is a major question that's discussed in the Achronim. And I think the one who writes it most succinctly and most easy to understand is the Aruch HaShulchan. So if you look at number Dalet, the Aruch HaShulchan is really just collecting all the Gemaras with the Rishonim. He doesn't say any Chidushim here, but I think just reading it together, you'll have an understanding as to where the Machlokes of Shimon or Yehuda actually applies. And when we say that we paskin like Reb Shimon on Shabbos, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean there's no din of Muktzah on Shabbos? We just gave a bunch of Shiurim explaining all the details of where Muktzah does apply or does not apply. So how can you say we don't hold the Muktzah at all if in fact we spend pages and pages in Shulchan Aruch explaining all the very nitty-gritty details of Muktzah? So let's look at this Aruch HaShulchan, Simon Shin Ches, where he collects all the sugyas together and he puts it in a beautiful way. V'davar Yadua. Shebachal Masecha Shabbos Nechleku Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon B'Muktzah V'Nolad Rabbi Yehuda Oser Rabbi Shimon Matur. So we have in Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon whether we hold a Muktzah or not. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion Lahakel, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion Lahachmir. V'Ifsik Hilchasok Rabbi Shimon. Now with regard to Shabbos, again, Simon Shin Ches is Hilchas Shabbos, so he's talking about Hilchas Shabbos. In this context, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Lahakel. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. Uludas Harifa Harambam Verofa Poskim Gam B'Nolad Kamelon K'Rab Shimon. Even when it comes to Nolad, we also paskin like Rabbi Shimon. V'lachein lo hiskir ha-Rambam iser nolad klal b'Shabbos. The Rambam does not mention the iser of nolad at all. The hainu mishum de kaim alon k'Reb Shimon k'darmina mishili Shabbos de kula Shabbos hilchasa k'Reb Shimon. In all of Hilchas Shabbos, we paskin like Reb Shimon regarding Muktzah, and therefore we assume that there's no din, there's no violation of Muktzah at all on Shabbos. So we're the exceptions. My father always likes to say that when Reb Soloveitchik used to talk about a machlokes in the Gemara, he would first show where the two Tanaim agree. 99% of the times they agree. And then after you show what they agree on, so then you appreciate more what they disagree on. There's only one point. And he said Reb Soloveitchik used to show very often how they're in agreement about almost every single other point other than this. And then you get to this one chiddush, so that's where they disagree. So over here also, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is doing. He's showing us, when you collect all the sugyas, really Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda agree on most things. It's just a very specific category of muktzah that they're disagreeing on. So over here, here we go. Umihu, benolad gamer, v'hainu davar chadash shalohayu ba'olam kol ikr. When I have something that's nolad gamer, it wasn't in the world bichlal, it didn't exist at all. As we'll see in a few minutes, exactly what that is. So there, moder Reb Shimon da aser. There, in a case like that, Reb Shimon would agree that there's a din of muktzah. Again, so you say, generally the Gemara says, machlokes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon is the muktzah. Not so simple. It's not a machlokes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon blanket machlokes by everything. That's not the way it is. So one exception is when it's nolad gamer, when it's completely davar chadash that wasn't in the world before, then we assume that even Reb Shimon would agree that that's aser. Ubeitza, when it comes to a beitza shenolda biyamtiv, chashvinon yeshna ba'olam. We assume that a beitza that was born, meaning it wasn't created in one day, it was inside of the mother. So now it came out on Yom Tov, but it's not like it wasn't here beforehand. V'hainu shahaisa b'mei tarnagolas v'achshav yatza l'chutz v'chein amashkin shayi b'lum b'peiros. And therefore Reb Shimon says, well, that's not nolad gamer. Yes, Reb Shimon says, I agree by something that didn't exist in the world at all, so then you have to be machmir. But over here by a beitza which did exist, just it wasn't outside of the mother yet, so then we assume that Reb Shimon would be mekel and Reb Yehuda would be machmir. V'im tishal, here's the $1 million question. Since la halacha we hold like the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara and Beis Adaf Beis, like Reb Shimon, that there's no din of muktzah on Shabbos at all. Im kein, mahu zeh din of muktzah shasurim. So what's this whole discussion we have? All these seifim and Shulchan Aruch that talk about all details of muktzah. What do you mean? What's the question? By the way, once you're looking at this, Rabbi Avadi Yosef's Tshuvas, interesting to note, this is the new edition of the Abiya Omer that they bought over here. Just came out this year. And what's very special about it, for those who are thinking of buying a set, what's very special about it is they took Rabbi Avadi Yosef's own copy of Yabia Omer and all of his footnotes that he wrote in and all of the letters back and forth that he had correspondence with other people about the tshuvas that he wrote, and they put them in here. So that's very fascinating. The only problem is that Tzvika Reisman from Los Angeles paid 3 or 4 years ago to have a mafteach made of all the tshuvas Yabia Omer to the page, and now you can't use it. So that's a big problem. The mafteach was very useful. And I think now they wrote the old page numbers somewhere over there, right? I think it says it somewhere. But still, it's not as easy as it used to be. So that's the only downside. But otherwise, it's an amazing set of Svarim. Rav Avadi is always amazing. And this new printing of Yabi Omer is very fascinating. Very interesting. So anyway.
What was the last line you had?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So when I have, let's say, orange juice. So I have juice inside of a fruit.
How about the peri itself? How many apples here all the time? It just falls off on Shabbat.
No, but a malacha had to happen in order for that to...
It's the same as that egg that came out of the chicken.
Why?
What's the difference with the fruit?
So the Gemara has that question. What's the difference between an egg that comes out of a chicken and mashkim that come out of a fruit? So you're asking... So a malacha had to happen in order for that. It's kotzer, right? In order...
No, you don't have to knock the tree to the apple. Once the apple is ripe, it falls off.
Right, but it had to become detached from the tree on Shabbos.
The same as the egg.
No.
Egg comes out by itself.
Yeah, but if I ate the egg, if I shechted the chicken now, I'd be able to eat the chicken with the egg. Right?
Okay.
They would be fleshig eggs, by the way, right. But stop. Interesting, but... What? Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean? But on Yom Tov, I can't go to the tree and pick an apple off the tree.
So now you're talking about the difference only on Yom Tov, because you can shechted the chicken. But on Shabbos, when you can't shechted the chicken... What are you going to
yeah.
Do? What's the difference between the egg and the
peri? So this is a sugya in the beginning of Beitza. I'm not remembering exactly how the Gemara sets up everything, but the Gemara does try to connect it to the juice coming out of the orange. You're saying why is it not connected to the fruit? Okay, I have to look again. So here he goes. So here's the Aruch HaShulchan. He wants to know. So what's going on here? So what's all these questions about Muktzah that we've been discussing? If we hold that in Shabbos like Rav Shimon, that there's no din of Muktzah at all, so then what's the whole discussion? How do you get started? V'atshuva al zeh. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, you know what the answer is? The following. Devadai gam Rav Shimon modu b'harbe Muktzahs kamo, for example. Here we go. So here's the list. Aruch HaShulchan, again, is pointing out all the places where Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda agree. And then we're going to see there's very limited amount of cases where Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda actually disagree. So he says, number one, Devadai gam Rav Shimon modu b'harbe Muktzahs kamo Muktzah d'balei chayim. The Amrina, the Gemara has a mem heyam ad beis, the gam Rav Shimon modu shebechayim asurim betiltu. So number one, Rav Shimon agrees. When you have something like Balei Chaim, which have no use on Shabbos, Rav Shimon agrees that that's Muktzah as well. For example, I put up my dates on top of the roof and I have to sit up there for 2 weeks in the sun in order to dry out. So I know that for the next 2 weeks I don't want to use them at all. So says Rav Shimon, when you put them, you're dacham yadayim, you put them on the roof and you say, I don't want to use these for the next 2 weeks, Rav Shimon is maskim, then in a case like that, that would be considered Muktzah as well. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun Zayin. So again, he's just collecting all the places. Something which is rotten and spoiled. Something which doesn't have a kli and it has no hishtamshus on Shabbos, for example. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the bottom line is, any item that doesn't have any specific hishtamshus on Shabbos at all, kemo balechayim umos v'neiros v'chamini matechos she'enam kelim v'chein kol shichos aleim lebelil hishtamish v'am rak v'divrei iser hamiyuchadim lahem. For example, klisha malachta le'iser kemo sakin shal shchito meser hagadol chayotze v'hem zeh nikra muktzah machos chesaron kis v'chein muktzah dedechia biyadayim v'kulu mother Rav Shimon. So he says that is where Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda agree, which is almost all the muktzahs that we've been describing up until this point. Ela mahu zeh hamuktzah shenechu gobo Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. So where do we actually have a machlokas? Where does it play out? You're going to tell me Rav Shimon agrees by nolad gomer, by something which is not ba'olam at all. Rav Shimon agrees that it's usher. You're going to tell me by muksa machmas chisar and kis, and balei chayim, and muksa machmas iser, and muksa machmas gufo, and something which has no hishtamshus b'shabbos. So what's left? So where do they ever argue? So he says like this. Zeu b'davar sharoi l'tashmash ata. The only time there's a machlokas of Yehuda Rav Shimon is where you have something which is able to be used for a specific purpose now, Ela sheyesh alav muktzah b'pol al b'shem, kigon muktzah machmas mius, kigon ner shalchera shehelika bo b'chol duhum mos. For example, you have a leichter, and they used to use oil leichters, and the oil used to splatter, get all over the place. So, I didn't use it on Shabbos, I used it during the week. But right now, it's all dirty still from all the oil from during the week. V'chein muktzah machmas otzer, v'chein davar shamalachta le'isr lasas bo malachas heter. So in cases like that, v'ifzik hilchas hakar Rav Shimon, whatever. So basically, the Aruch HaShulchan sets up over here that basically the machlokes of Yehuda Rav Shimon is very limited, and everything we've been describing until now in the sugya muktzah is all according to Rav Shimon as well. Yes, the Gemara tells us we have machlokes of Yehuda Rav Shimon by muktzah, but that's not to be taken literally. What do you mean there's a machlokes of Yehuda Rav Shimon by muktzah? That just means in a very limited amount of cases, but by 99% of the cases, Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda both agree that there is an institution of muktzah. So now, we get to the main sugya, which we began with, and that was, what is the status of snow on Shabbos? So we look at a very interesting Gemara in Erevin, Daf, Mem, Hei, Amud, Beis. So let's look at a beautiful Gemara. And with this, we'll get some insight into a little bit more about Nolad, and where Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda disagree. And we'll get into a little bit of a discussion about snow and rain on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So let's see. The Gemara has an Erev in Daf Mem Hayam Beis Amar Mar Gisham Sheyardu. I put in just so we should understand what the context of the Gemara is. So you have rain that falls on Yom Tov. Harei Hein Karagle Kaladim. Says the Gemara, when you have rain that falls on Shabbos or Yom Tov, so generally we assume that there's a Tchum Shabbos. There's a Tchum Shabbos for me. What about for the items in my house? What's the din? So the Gemara says in the end of Beitza that the items in my house follow my Tchum Shabbos. So what if someone else comes to visit my house? He has a different tchum than I have, but he wants to take something of mine and bring it back to him. So is he allowed to? No. Why? Because my items follow my tchum Shabbos. Let's say he wants to borrow my coat. So if I give it to him and it's his, so it's a different story. But if it's mine and he's borrowing it, so it follows my Tchum Shabbos, doesn't follow his. Because my chafatzim, my items, are koveya my Tchum Shabbos. So what happens when I have something which is hefker? Middle of the street, totally hefker before Shabbos started. So whose Tchum Shabbos do they go to? What is their Tchum Shabbos? So the Gemara assumes Kiragli Kalodim. It goes, meaning the Gemara says, let's say I go to a well and I fill up water on Shabbos, it's Kiragli Amamale. Means it goes according to my Tchum Shabbos. When I fill it up, that becomes mine. So it used to be Hefker, now it's no longer Hefker. It has no Tchum at all. So now, once I get it, so now it becomes mine. In fact, the Achronim have a discussion based on this Gemara, Gesham Shiar de Biyamtiv, Harein Karagle Kaladam. So they write, how did this fit in with the way the man fell on Shabbos, right? The man, what was the story with the Tchum Shabbos of the man? Why do we say you can't go outside? Hey, Yom Lo Sim Sub Asada. You're not allowed to go outside on Shabbos and get the man. It was only going to fall on Friday. What was the Isser? What was the problem? Hotzah. What's Hotzah? Because it came out of the Machana. Yeah. Right? What about...
It had to go out to get it. It wasn't... most of it had to, most of it had to go out to get it. It was out in the field.
Yeah. So why different than rain? He's saying because it was Chutz the Machana. It's Chutz the Yud Beis Mil.
You're not talking about Friday to get it. You're talking about Yitzchum.
Right, you're talking about Chum.
Yeah, but here
we're talking about that. Right, so let's say I was a tzaddik. So you're saying you're right. The whole din was only set for the Rishon, and they had to go out of the Machna. Okay, good. Easy enough.
But they brought it in on Shabbos. They brought it in before. So.
They brought it in Friday. But the Gemara learns the whole din of Muksa from here. Ve'echinus asher yaviu. Okay, so let's see. Amar Mark. Kisham shiyardi v'yamtev harein karag le'kaladim. So if you have the rain that falls on Shabbos, the Gemara seems to say very clearly, rain is not muktzah. Why? Because it says, if I want to go outside and fill up a bucket of water from the rain that just fell, I'm allowed to. And it even takes on my Tchum Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Vamai. Why should you assume that I'm allowed to fill up a bucket of water and take it to my house? And now it takes on my Tchum Shabbos. Likni shvisa bu'ukainas. What is ukainas? That's the Mediterranean. So the Gemara has an opinion, Rabbi Elazar, I took it out. That's the three doubts. Rabbi Elazar has a whole opinion. Machlokes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that all of the water in the world somehow has a source in the Mediterranean Sea. And everything, all the rain, everything, somehow the vapor comes up from the Mediterranean Sea, and then it goes up into the clouds, and then it comes down into the world. Okay, that was the Shita Rabbi Elazar. Whether it's physically the right perspective or not is an interesting question. But be it as it may, this is the way Rabbi Elazar holds. So says the Gemara, why should you assume that I'm allowed to take the rain? I'm not allowed to use it and bring it to my house and assume that it follows my Tchum Shabbos. What do you mean? It came from the Mediterranean Sea. And it should follow the Tchum of the Mediterranean Sea. Now that it's raining in New York, how am I allowed to use the rainwater if I know that it came all the way from the other side of the world? That's the kasha the Gemara has.
For that matter, you can say there's no such thing as knowing that then. So everything comes from somewhere.
Okay, so let's
there's
so let's see.
Well, in chemistry, there's a conservation of energy or matter, whatever it is. Nothing's created. It's just...
reproduced.
It's just a transfer from one... fashion to another, but
right, so let's see what it is.
The matter was there from before.
Okay, so let's see what the Gemara says. So says the Gemara, why am I allowed to take it according to my Tchum Shabbos? I think the Gemara is going to address your question. What exactly is the nature of rain? So let's see in a minute. Am Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, maybe we hold like Rabbi Elazar, maybe we don't. Then says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yitzchak, hacha. What are we describing over here? When does the Gemara say I'm allowed to go take it a bucket of water and fill it up with the rain that just fell on Shabbos? That's ba'avim shenes kashru me'erev yamtiv askina. What is that referring to? It rains on yamtiv, but you know what? We're talking about the clouds that were already here before yamtiv started. So I look up into the sky, I see it's dark, it's about to rain. All of a sudden yamtiv comes in and starts raining. So when yamtiv came, it was already here. Yeah, so therefore?
Therefore it's not
nerlet. That's what the Gemara wants to assume. Therefore it's not muktzah because it was already here. Frakti Gemara v'dilma hanach azli v'hanach achrini ninhu. What do you mean? You're telling me you know the clouds? You knew that they were here before Shabbos? You know how many clouds there are?
Why is it better than Pierce that weren't in
Beah? Yeah.
Mashkishizot.
Right.
They're also coming out of clouds.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's see.
See, if you know which clouds there are, what achrini is there?
So we'll get to that in a second. The Gemara is going to ask that kasha. So let's see. V'dilma hanach azli v'hanach achrini ninhu. Maybe these are not the same. Maybe these are, in fact, different clouds. You say you knew which clouds they were. So the Gemara says, no. This Lusimna Begavayu. What do you mean? I looked up into the sky, And I know my clouds. I'm a meteorologist. I know how to look into the sky. I know how to identify exactly which clouds they were. And therefore, before Yom Tov came, I looked up into the sky, I saw the clouds, and I had a simon to tell me that, oh, these are the right clouds. Then it starts raining, I say, oh, my cloud is still there. So I know that this is the rain that was there before Shabbos. Okay, strange case. Iba Yisema says the Gemara, another answer. Habe suffik to Dibrayim, v'suffik to Dibrayim lahakil. What's the suffik to Rabbanon? The whole Tchumen is only the Rabbanon. We assume Tchumen is only the Rabbanon. Some say that Tchumen is Daraisa, Yubez Mil. The Gemara over here seems to assume not like that. So, since the Tchum Shabbos is only Dinder Rabbanon, so you have a right to Mekel, and there's no problem over here, you can be Mekel. The question is, some Acharonim point out, that what's the suffix over here? It's the suffix Yediyah. It's the suffix in Metzias. Right? You're not sure if these were the real clouds that were there before Shabbos or not. It's not a suffix in Halacha. It's a suffix in Metzias. Yet the Gemara says suffix Rabbanon Lekula, even by a suffix in Metzias. Right? So that's a little bit of an interesting discussion that stems from this Gemara. But be it as it may, then the Gemara comes to a new question. V'likni shvisa ba'avim. Ask the Gemara, so I don't understand. So we have an issue of Tchum Shabbos. So why aren't they kona Tchum Shabbos up there, if it only starts raining on Shabbos itself? Says the Gemara, tifsho mina, maybe you can prove from here, de'ein tchumen l'mala me'asara, de'yesh tchumen likni shvisa ba'avim. For those who remember, when we started this whole series of shiurim, we had a whole shiur on Tchum Shabbos L'mayla Me'asara. So this is why we did it, because for those who remember, the Gemara over here discusses whether there's Tchum L'mayla Me'asara. So can the rain actually be Kona Shvisa up in the sky or not? So says the Gemara, no. La'olam emelach, really, I'll tell you, Yesh Tchum L'mayla Me'asara, even if you hold Yesh Tchum. However, Maya Be'iva Mivla Bli. What does that mean? Harehem Kemisha Einam. It's as if the water doesn't exist. Why? Because like you were saying, the water is only in a vapor form. So you can't say, the only item, the only element that could be Kona Shvisa is something that's actually tangible, something that's here. You can say, my chair is Kona Shvisa in my house. My table is Kona Shvisa in my house. And it goes by my Tchum Shabbos. But when something is vapor on the onset of Shabbos, so it's not Kona Shvisa in the clouds, it's not a real entity, it's not there. We don't recognize that lalach. That's what the Gemara assumes. So since it's just in a vapor stage when Shabbos comes in, so it's not Kona Shvisa, now comes down and it turns into rain, so there's nothing to be concerned about. That's what the Gemara says. Frek the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that it's just in a vapor stage and now on Shabbos it turns into rain, so you have a bigger problem. What's the problem?
No lad.
Frek the Gemara, and we know, we just said, the Aruch HaShulchan told us, the Gemara says, Mother of Shimon by Nolad Gomer, Reb Shimon agrees when something is Nolad Gomer, when it comes Yesh Mayan, comes from nothing. So Rav Shimon agrees that that's a sure usher. So frek the Gemara, kol shekein da'avilu nolad ba'asiri. So certainly, if you're going to say that the clouds are just in a vapor stage, and the rain is not yet there, so then certainly it should be usher, because that's nolad, says the Gemara. Ella, you're right. Maya ba'avim may not naidi. You're right. Really, the water is there. The water is there before Shabbos starts. In the clouds, we assume it's not a vapor stage. I don't know. Is this? I don't know how it works exactly. But the water is in a vapor, is not in a vapor stage. The water is really in a water stage in the clouds. Why is Nekona Shvisa up there? And when it comes downstairs, you should say, I'm not letting it move it at all. Says the Gemara, you know why? Because it keeps on moving. So if you have something that's moving while Shabbos comes in, it's never stationary at all, so then we assume it's not Kona Shvisa. Take for example, you have a boat, right? A boat keeps moving. So since the boat is moving continuously, so it's not Kona Shvisa. If it stops, so then there's a discussion whether or not it's Kona Shvisa, it's L'mayla Me'asara. Okay, it's a whole interesting discussion. However, the Gemara comes to the conclusion over here that the reason why there's no issue of Nolad is why? Is because really the rain is here beforehand. The rain really was there the whole time. It was just hidden in the clouds. Why shouldn't it be Mukta anyway, because it's out of the Tchum? It came all the way from Shamayim down to the earth. The answer is because Meida Naidi was moving the whole time. Somebody actually, last Shabbos I spoke in Elizabeth, and there was somebody there who asked me a very interesting shaila. He wanted to know, he's from South Africa. So last Shavuos, he said Shavuos was on Wednesday and Thursday. His father was deathly sick, and he thought his father would pass away on the first day of Shavuos, on Wednesday. So he was concerned that if they're going to wait for him, so his father's going to pass away Wednesday, and Thursday is Yom Tov. Friday he can't fly and get there. So they're going to have to wait Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, if he takes the first flight out, Matzah Shabbos, he won't get there till Monday morning. So they're going to wait 6 days to bury his father if he passes away on the first day of Shavuos. See, what?
If they wait for him.
If they wait for him. So they had a chop. So he wanted to do like this. He asked me what could be wrong with such an idea. It's too bad he got stuck on a technical reason. But he said he lives in Elizabeth. He can walk to the airport. He told me in Newark. It'll take him an hour or two, whatever. But he can walk to the airport. He says it's right near his house. So he wants to know. He's going to do Amir La'akum, second day of Yontif. Let somebody call him from South Africa if something happens to his father. So second day of Yontif, is he allowed to get on the plane and fly down to South Africa in order that he'll make it there on Friday in the Havdalah of Friday? So what do you think?
Second day of Shavuos is different than the Yom Tov.
Why?
Because it's a low plug. Second day Shavuos is a low plug.
Second day Shavuos is a low plug.
We
it's more chamer than the Yom Tov Sheni.
It should be less chamer.
Huh?
It should be less chamer.
No, it's more chamer.
Why is it more chamer?
Now it's 49 days.
Yeah. Why?
It's no days.
So it should be less chamer.
Yes, it should be less.
It should be less chamer. No? I'm saying, no? Shouldn't it be less chamer? I'm not familiar, but
I think it's more chamer.
In which way?
Because there is no issue of suffix like Shavuos. You know when Shavuos is because you're counting.
Right.
It's not a question.
So then it should be more mekel.
No, because they wanted to make it.
Takana anyway.
Takana anyway, so.
Okay, so let's say it was Pesach.
It's not based on a suffix. It's
right.
It's based on
okay.
Not differentiating between Yom Tov and
okay, how does that play out, Lahalacha? I don't remember. Are there chumras? Yeah, are there more chumras?
There's a chum in the Shlomo Klug. I have yeah. with a
mace?
With a mace, with a get. Uh-huh. If they can write it before, otherwise it would be a.
Uh-huh. So let's say it was Pesach.
Uh-huh. No, he would fall the evil. Mm-hmm. So he paskened one way, no, you're not allowed to. And it was a big to-do.
Yeah,
it was a lot of Rabbanim said yes. But Sam Seifer upheld the psak of Rav Shlomo Kluger on.
Mm-hmm.
Because Shavuos is a low plug.
Mm-hmm.
The second so Shavuos is a low plug.
Uh-huh.
Because really we should be no
right.
No yantiv.
Mm-hmm.
It's fake of the yoma, but there's no suffix.
There's no suffix here at all.
It's the 50th day.
Uh-huh.
That machloek is
okay.
In the middle of the 19th century.
Interesting. So how about, let's switch this case. Let's say it was Pesach, right? So what would you say then? So it's a chaval because I think he gets caught on a technical point. Because on the runway, you're already out of the tchum.
Right.
So he can't even get off the ground, literally. That's a problem.
Is he putting himself, or is somebody else putting him? Because he's sitting there.
He's sitting there, right?
Right, somebody else is moving.
Yeah. It's as if you're walking out of the tchum.
You're not walking. And I was... The thing is being moved.
What do you mean? Are you allowed to go in a car on Shabbos Chutz L'Tchum?
No. I understand what you're asking.
Right.
I'm saying, is there a difference between somebody taking you, or you do your
cattle?
It's the same. What do you mean? You're getting on the plane, right? So then he timed it like this. So nowadays we're machmer, we don't do a levaya on Yontif Sheni for whatever reason, right? Agudas Harabbanim made a thing, shouldn't do it. But old communities, let's say in Breuer's, they still do a Yontif Sheni. So what's the din? Let's say the Breuer cemetery is in Passaic, I think, wherever. So you have to go way out of the tchum in order to bury the mace. So what happens if I'm on the Chever Kadisha? Am I allowed to jump in the hearse on Yontif Sheni when they're doing the levaya? Am I allowed to jump in the hearse and go along with them to the cemetery in Passaic, even though it's Chutz L'Tchum, the answer is yes. Why? Because on Yontif Sheni they weren't Gozer, and the Tchum doesn't apply. So he asked me, so then it's Yontif Sheni, if your whole problem is Tchum, so why don't you allow me to get on the plane? I'll violate the Tchum, but I'm doing it the Tzarech Kavod Ameh, so it should be Mutter. So I said, no, there's a major difference. If they needed you to bury him is one thing, but call them up before Yontif and tell them, if he passes away on Yontif, bury him without me. They don't need you there. You want to be there for yourself. That's not the Tzarech Kavod Ameh, it's for you. Yeah, it would be a little bit nicer if all the children were at the Levite. Everyone will understand that instead of waiting 6 days in order to bury your father, so we'll bury him on Friday without you. So that, I think, is the consideration why what he was suggesting is not so simple. But it was an interesting suggestion nonetheless. Yeah. What happened with the father? He survived. He survived the Shavuos. But he ended up passing away afterward. Anyway. So this is what the Gemara has about rain. Interesting question. Why there's no problem of Nola? Why there's no problem of Truman? So now you get to the Beis Yosef and Arachaim. Zok the Beis Yosef and Arachaim, quoting the Shibali Aleket. Kasav Rab Tzemach Gon. Mater Hayorid B'Shabbos V'Yamtev. When you have rain that falls on Shabbos V'Yamtev. Alpha Gavdom Yasma Lahayu Avim. Even though yesterday there were no clouds in the sky. It was a clear day. And you can't say that the clouds were here. I already had das that I want to get the rain. I didn't know it was going to rain. Still, Mutter Lurchotz Behem V'Lishtos Mehem Da'asikna. Again, so there's no problem of Tchum Shabbos. Why? Because they're constantly moving. And when something is constantly moving, there's no problem of Tchum because it's not Koveya Tchum anywhere, because it's not stationary at any point. And number two, we assume that is not Nolad. Why is it not Nolad? Because Maya Ba'avim may not Naidi, and we don't assume that it was in a vapor form and now it turned into something else. We assume that the water was always there in the clouds. So that's the way the Beis Yosef Paskins with regard to Geshem. And we assume that Geshem would not be a problem. Take, for example, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes from Rishlam Azaman. What if you have someone, he says, who needs to be Ma'asef Shesen B'Shabbos, which means he needs to take a urine sample. He's not feeling well, whatever it is. And he says, it's interesting that Rishlam Azaman writes that really he could have done it during the week, but I'm at work and it's not comfortable for me to do it at work and to do all these kinds of tests at work. So instead, I wait till Shabbos. When I'm home anyway, I'll do it in my house on Shabbos. So Rishlam Azaman talks about it and he says, I have to take a certain fluid drink, whatever it is, before I take the sample. So Shlomo Zalman says, am I allowed to catch it and put it into a kli on Shabbos in order to bring it in on Sunday or Matzah Shabbos into the lab to be tested? So this is the question that Shlomo Zalman was asked by the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. So he writes, yes, it's permissible. Why? So he brought a raya from our Gemara. What's the raya?
What's the issue?
It's Nolad. It's Nolad. Right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, that's not Nolad. Why? So it's interesting. It gets really to your point, what you were mentioning before. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, well, everything was really here before Shabbos started. The fluid was here. You were here. And the only thing that happens is you drink the fluid. Now it comes out a little bit different chemical makeup than it was before. But everything's the same. It's not like anything new was created. It's not like I... Right.
That's
no lie. Right, but we assume that it was a separate...
Why is it different than the person who has fluids in his body and he expels it, or rain in the clouds?
So this is a very, very difficult... It's a very difficult line to...
Perhaps even worse, because it's not the same exact water.
Not at all. It's not the same makeup at all. I find this line very hard to draw, meaning... How do you figure out where to draw the line? Again, like you said, you have Mashkin Shazavu, which the Gemara assumes is a problem. Then you have the clouds over here, which the Gemara assumes is not a problem. Then you get to Shlomo Zalman's case about Yisuf HaShesen, and he says all of a sudden that's considered the same as the clouds. Why is that the same? What do you mean? The fluid was here, but the fluid totally changed. If I would take the fluid and pour it into the test tube, the results obviously wouldn't come out the way I want them to, right? What?
Why is it also Mashkin Shazavu? It's not like
mine,
it has a use.
Yes, Chesson
doesn't have a use.
So, what do you mean? It has a use. The same way. What do you mean? Right now, I need to use it. Right?
Isn't it a chana you're preparing from Shabbos right? After Shabbos? That's a different issue.
So, you can say it's not a chana. I'm using it, meaning it's preparing for now. I need it really right now.
You don't. You're not doing it with it right now. You're taking it Sunday.
I am doing something with it right now. Putting it in the fridge. Right? I have to do it at some point. So.
You're preparing it to take it on Sunday. That's the bottom line.
Okay, yeah.
A little bit unrelated, but I'm going to ask a question that snow turned into ice Erev Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are walking back and forth, and there's a big sakana. They're going to open the whole street as a sheet of ice. They let it break.
Okay, so 1 second. So let's first get to snow. So now, if you're following everything we're saying, so Rav Shlomo Zalman says, take for example, here's one more case where it might make it a little clearer, it might make it a little more complicated. Shlomo Zalman says, what happens when I have an air conditioner? The old air conditioners, they used to drip. Right, so I live in an apartment building. We still have air conditioners that drip. So Shlomo Zalman says, well, that's for sure. That's Nolad Gomer. Why is that Nolad Gomer? Because he says, if I had a pipe, and in order for the air conditioner to work, I had to pour water in, and then after it went through the system, it came dripping out, so that would be the same as drinking the fluid, and then it comes out, or as the rain in the sky, and then it comes down. However, says Shlomo Zalman over here, where it's completely created out of nowhere, you have water that's created out of nothing. What? Oh, so what is? Oh, so very good. So you're saying it's the humidity in the air that the air conditioner is drawing, and then it creates it into water. However, the Gemara says, that's what Shlomo Zalman says. Our Gemara assumes that if everything in the clouds would have been condensation, would have been vapor, and now it turns into water, that would have been Nolad on Shabbos. And there even Rav Shimon would agree, because that's Nolad Gomer. So that's what Shlomo Zalman, when you have the condensation that becomes water in the air conditioner, that's considered Nolad Gomer, that would be Usr. However, when you're drinking the fluid and then you have to take it into the test tube, that would not be a problem. So it's very hard to draw the line. Where do you figure out what's considered nolad? Again, with Mashkin Shazavu, how do you draw the line where something should be considered nolad or not? So then you get to the next part of the discussion, and that's about Shelek. So what's the story? What's the bottom line with snow on Shabbos? Well, it says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's not considered nolad. Why? The same way rain is not considered nolad, so Shelek is also not considered nolad. Zokum Shlomo Zalman, even though we all know, I don't know, but I guess people who know science know that the Shelek, when it's in the sky, is really rain, and then when it comes closer to the earth, it turns into snow. That's what I thought. Isn't it colder up there? So
it depends.
Depends on
the environment.
Work both ways. In opposite directions. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even though everybody knows scientifically that the snow really starts off as rain up there, and then when it gets closer to the earth, it turns into snow. So you should say that's nolad gomer. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, nah, it's just changing format a little bit. It's not like it wasn't here beforehand. So what do you mean? So again, so when you have the vapor that turns into water, you say that's nolad gomer. When you have water that turns into snow, you say, oh, that's not nolad. Why? It's the same thing. So when you have water in the fridge, it turns to ice cubes. Maybe we'll have a shear on that next week. Maybe we'll go into that whole sugya. But what? Right. It's just, I find this very difficult to draw the line. Where do you figure it out? And therefore, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Rav Moshe disagrees with Shlomo Zalman. Rav Moshe was of the opinion, no, Shelag is considered a muktzah on Shabbos. Why? Because the whole texture, the whole substance of the snow completely changes from the way it was up there to the way it is when it comes down. So therefore, Moshe writes that snow would be considered muktzah. So now what happens? We get to your story.
Because
so let's say you assume... Yeah, because it's nolad. That's what he says. So let's say... What? No, the Gemara says that rain is not considered muktzah. The Beis Yosef quotes the Shibalei Alekhet. But he says, that's only because the Gemara assumes that rain was in the same format when it was in the clouds. But he says snow, which wasn't, so that's considered nolad. So that's a very big problem. So now you get to your question. So let's say you want to be a big tzaddik, you want to be machmer like Rav Moshe, right? And you're going to say that snow is muktzah on Shabbos. So there's a big machlokes whether snow is muktzah or not. Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe. So let's say you want to be machmer. Shabbos is chamer, so you're going to be machmer like Rav Moshe. So now what happens? Now people are walking down the steps. You're afraid someone's going to slip. So what do? So in a case like that, it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch that when you have a story of that nature where somebody can slip and hurt himself. So the Gemara assumes that even something that would have been considered muktzah, Chazal will never go to muktzah when it's a makam sakana. So take for example, if I have a big crystal bowl that smashes into a million pieces all over the floor, now we're concerned that somebody's going to step on it. It's b'makam hilach harabim, the Shulchan Aruch says, and we're concerned someone's going to cut their foot or someone's going to get hurt, trip on it. So in a case like that, it says clearly that you're allowed to remove it, you're allowed to do whatever you can to make sure that nobody gets hurt, because the gzeira of muktzah, which is only with the Rabbanan, was never instituted in a case like that. So that is what the Shulchan Aruch paskins befeirish. So therefore over here, when you're afraid that people are going to get hurt, so it would be obvious to be allowed to remove the snow. Now, what's the best way to remove the snow? So obviously, best way, you start in the Akala Lakavi. So the best way is if you have a Nachri, easily accessible. So Amir La'akam is only with the Rabbanan. Muktzah over here might only be a Dindur Rabbanan, it's not clear. I'm sorry, muktzah... What?
Ice pellets.
What's ice pellets? So I think the most cow way to do it is to do it with Amir L'Nachri. Because you have a double...
We don't have a Nachri right here.
You don't? There's one that lives right here.
Yeah.
Nope.
But, you know, sometimes if somebody uses him,
so you have...
What does it mean that snow is muktzah? Are you allowed to walk on it?
Oh, so what about walking on it? Ah, you're saying walk on it, you're going to move it,
yeah.
Right? And not only that, walk on it, you're going to pack it in. So you're... Right, so it might be bona. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's not a problem to walk on it. Walking on it is for sure okay. What? That's what they say. They say it's kilach yad. Because touching muktzah, let's say tilta muktzah begufo. Let's say something muktzah is on the floor. Can I go like this and kick it with my foot? Yes. Why? Because tilta muktzah kilach yad is not considered tilta muktzah.
No,
so over here also.
The snow gets in your shoes and you're schlepping it all the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Looks like we're snowballs.
Right? It gets in
so you're saying I'm carrying.
And the threads on the soles of your shoes and you're just carrying it all the way.
Interesting. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
So making snowballs
is a big question. Maybe that's a chashash of boneh v'shabbat. Some say maybe it's a problem of boneh. And others say, no, it's so transient. What do you mean? The snowball's about to smash into
Sure,
so according to Rav Moshe, it's muktzah. According to Rishlama Zalman is already a discussion. Some want to say, maybe it's Bona. Why should it be Bona? Because I'm creating something new. I'm creating a nice something to make a Bubat Shelag, I think they call it. Snowman. Snow doll, they call it. So that's a discussion only if you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman that snow is not muktzah in the first place. So anyway, Shulchan Aruch says clearly that one is allowed to clear off. Muktzah was never instituted in a case where there's a chashash hezek harabim. So therefore over here, either you can do amir l'nachri to have somebody shovel it for you. If you don't have a nachri readily available, you're afraid someone's going to slip, so then you should go and put out salt. My father tells people all the time, it's better to put out salt and make sure that nobody's going to get hurt than to go ahead and take the chance. However, it doesn't mean that you should go around and do your whole property and, you know, do places where people aren't going to walk. You should do a path and make sure people can get through. And that would be good enough. So that's basically the sugya of snow. I hope we made it a little more clear. Perhaps we made it a little more complicated. I just realized that next week is Tainus Esther, so there's probably not going to